Back to RHI, one of the biggest questions hanging over the story. Will the names be revealed of businesses who signed up to the renewable heating scheme on Tuesday? Hundreds of beneficiaries won a temporary injunction at the High Court in Belfast to stop their names being made public. The Economy Minister, Simon Hamilton, wanted to publish the names later, but a High Court judge stopped him from naming those RHI recipients who are members of the Renewable Heat Association of Northern Ireland. Michael Doran represents that group. I spoke to him yesterday and began by asking him why his members do not want to be named.
We don't want to be named because there's been a feeding frenzy within the media over the last couple of months. We're happy for those names to be released and all of the details to be released after we've done audits, both technical and business case audits.
Well, what does that mean? Why would that matter? Why would that change things?
Because at the moment, you must admit there's a general perception that most people who have signed into this scheme are acting fraudulently. Nobody knows, I don't know, you don't know how many might be. If we carry out audits, establish who the goodies are, who the baddies are, then we're quite happy to have those details released. Anybody who is acting fraudulently will be thrown out of our association, will be prosecuted. We think that's the correct course of action.
But you were acting on behalf of the government signing people up to the scheme, weren't you?
No, we weren't acting on behalf of the government. We were acting on behalf of clients making applications for them.
So you were helping them make their applications?
That's correct, yes.
And they were paying you to do it?
That's correct, yep.
And as part of that process, were you not establishing if they were legitimate?
We administered the process. As part of that process, they had to establish what was eligible use. So we relied on the information that was given to us. We didn't do site visits to establish exactly what somebody was doing within their business. So it is possible that since those applications were made, that somebody is doing something illegal. That's beyond our responsibility.
And how many applications did you process, Michael?
We processed about 550 out of about 2,200, so about a quarter.
How did you get to the stage where you were processing that substantial amount? Why your organisation?
That's what Action Renewables does. Action Renewables has been independent of the department since 2010, and what we do is provide services to the renewable energy industry.
Okay, so you were promoting the scheme. You were saying, look, this is a good scheme and we'll help you apply. Is that fair?
Yeah, we ran a seminar specifically in June of 2013 to promote the scheme because at that stage the department hadn't actually done anything. Now, remember, in 2013 there was no level of impropriety whatsoever, but DETI had not been promoting the scheme. So in June of 2013, we, Action Renewables, ran a seminar in a hotel. There were about 200 or 300 attendees. Yeah. Say, here's an opportunity.
I get that. And just for the record, because I have been over the minute detail of this scheme, I've seen most of the government files on it. I've seen more detail than quite a few people in this country of this scheme. So I know it quite well. And for the record, and I've been banging on about this week, it would be absolutely improper for those people who have applied to this scheme to be smeared. This was a government-approved scheme. And because they are on a list of names, being the applicants to this scheme, it is no different being on that list than being on any other list. If you apply for a government-approved pension, if you apply for a government-approved ISA, no difference in terms of the propriety of people applying to the scheme unless it can be proven that they were gangsters. It is not the default position that they were gangsters. And I can state that as fact because I've seen the government promoting this game. So
yeah, I agree with you. Would you not agree with me that there is a perception, most of the people who phone into your programme, for instance, that most people who are operating this are operating it fraudulently? Would you agree with me?
I'm not sure that's true. I think there is a reality that we both know that some people have been ripping the taxpayer off. That one of the criteria in the scheme is that the heat needs to be used for proper use. Proper use. And so therefore, we need to detect those people.
Absolutely. And what we're saying is not just technical audits on how efficiently the boiler is running, but business audits. It really isn't terribly difficult to design a scheme that works out how much heat did you consume in the last financial year. What was that heat supposed to be for? And for instance, if you're producing mushrooms, how many mushrooms did you sell out? You must have invoice of the sold mushrooms. So if you've consumed vast amounts of heat, but you don't have the mushroom production to justify it, then you're doing something wrong. So it is quite possible to do business audits and identify very clearly who is acting fraudulently. And that's what we want to see.
How much were you getting for processing the applications?
Approximately £400 each.
And when did you discover the scheme was flawed?
Really flawed when the department closed it in January of 2016.
You didn't see a spike in applications during the September October period?
Yeah, spike in applications are not unusual. And I have to go through this again. The department had a decision to make. They knew by the summer, I think, of 2015, that there was an issue with how they were funding it. I don't have all of those details in front of me, but they knew that was an issue, and at some stage they were going to have to make an amendment. So they had two options. One was to shut it overnight, and the other one was to have a phased close down, which is what they eventually moved to. Now, I'm not saying it was right or wrong. Had they shut it overnight, the way the accreditation system worked, you had to spend the money, put the boiler in, and generate heat, record that on your meter before you got approval.
Now, Michael, you sound like a reasonable man. Are you seriously telling me, because you were processing the applications, your organisation was, therefore you were across some of the detail of this scheme, are you seriously telling me that while you knew that there were no cost controls in this scheme, that you were getting a £1.60 return for every pound you spent, are you seriously telling me you thought that you shouldn't flag that up?
At that stage, there were no perceived issues apart from how fast could people get their applications in. There was nothing in the press at that stage which was highlighting that there were any issues.
And you didn't think this is too good to be true? You didn't think, hold on a moment, that, you know, it's a 60% return?
Now, that's another very interesting thing. We are starting to do an economic analysis of what the returns are. So at the moment, we've got about 400 members. We started on this. It's going to take us another 3 or 4 weeks to go through it to work out what the rates of return are. There are very few running at 50 or 60. And you've got to remember, it's the department. Can I take you back a little bit to why there should be an incentive at all? When you're trying to develop a renewable energy system, you've usually got two options if you're a government. One is an obligation. So that's basically a stick to make you do something. The other one is an incentive. And to encourage people to move away from oil or gas heating, there has to be an incentive.
Yeah, but come on. £1.60 for every pound you spend.
Well, that's the important bit, because the department must have assessed. I haven't seen their economic plan, and I would think you probably haven't either, because it's flawed. What they needed to do was to sit down and work out to move from a 3% renewable heat target up to a 10% by 2020, how much money would they need to put into the scheme to make people change behaviour? So they must have done an economic analysis of what that would cost. But they appear to have been out by a factor of four.
But when you were on BBC Spotlight,
yep,
you told Conor Spackman when he put it to you, the scheme sounded like a fundamental cock-up. You said, yes, it is.
It was in hindsight.
In hindsight?
In hindsight, yes.
But you didn't know then?
Well, if the department had known at that stage, why didn't they pull the plug? They were the ones holding the purse string. Sorry, go on.
But there are signs, Michael. There are signs, aren't there? Well, for example, a note appeared before Jonathan Bell knew, on your website, saying this scheme's going to close.
Yep, that's correct.
How come?
Because everybody in the industry knew that there was going to be a change in the system. That was common knowledge. I don't have any insight into SPADs or government departments. We don't work in that environment.
But you put it up on your website, and I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially the meaning was, get in quick, because this lucrative part, the cost controls are going to come in. Get in quick.
No, that's a little bit exaggerated. What we did point out was that unless you made the application by a certain date, you were unlikely to receive any further benefits. We didn't say that this was a make-money quick scheme.
No, but they needed to get in because the lucrative part was closing. And I think you posted that at the very beginning of September.
Yeah, but
first of September. You see, I've seen all the government tracking documents. The government itself, the minister himself, it's the 8th of September is the date on the actual tracking document, which shows that the scheme's going to be closed in the beginning of October.
Yeah, we had.
And yet you lot are flagging it up before the minister has signed it off.
Yeah, we, Action Renewables, had no direct contact with the department at that stage whatsoever. So I wasn't in having private meetings with anybody in DETI to try and fish information out. My understanding is, and this could be wrong, is that several installation companies had meetings in July with various meetings within DETI Energy Division, and it's the people within DETI Energy Division that gave them the details. And that was public knowledge.
So installers were told in July?
That's my understanding. Now, I'm not completely sure about that because I wasn't involved in that. So we weren't part of that leaking process. We were just told it is likely within the next 6 weeks that the department will change the scheme.
When I say the minister knew, actually, the 8th of September was the date the minister unveiled that the changes were going to happen. Just out of interest, how many of the applications to your scheme were applicants who weren't replacing previous heating systems? So this was a new heat application.
Honestly, don't know, but I would say it was most. I would need to go back in.
Most, you say?
I would say probably most.
This is for premises that weren't heated previously.
I'm guessing most, but I could be wrong.
Why would that be the case?
Because there were business opportunities to expand your business based on the back of that. Can I give you one example?
Business opportunities to make money out of the scheme.
Possibly, yes, but also
it was a business in itself, wasn't it?
No, can I give you one example? We're aware of one specific project where a processing facility costing £1 million has been put onto the back end of the boiler generation. That person now has a contract to sell a specific product for a five-year project, for a five-year contract. And based on the strength of the monies that he thought he was getting from RHI, he has invested another £1 million, not just £50,000 for the boiler, which creates additional jobs. If they cut that, that entire project is at risk. And what I'm not saying is we don't want this to go on forever. What we want is a considered opinion. And right now, we think that the department is making the same knee-jerk economic analysis mistakes that they made when they constructed the scheme.
But this is one of 500 you've just commented on. I'm trying to get into my head. You think that the majority of the applicants that you processed would be for premises that weren't previously heated. Of course, the whole spirit of this scheme was to encourage people to switch from one method of heating to another. So, so the majority of applicants to your scheme were not as the government intended it to be.
I'm thinking out loud because I haven't got the detail on that in front of me. A lot of the ones which have gone in, a lot of the applications have gone in, I'm guessing here because I don't have exact figures in front of me. There are about 1,700 individual applicants for about 2,200 installations. So of the 2,200 installations, we've done about 500. Of those, I would probably about half are new build. But a lot of the other ones were, for instance, replacement boilers in chicken houses. The percentage of ones that we did for chicken houses was lower, so we did less chicken houses than the rest of the industry.
Okay, Michael, just finally, is there anything else you'd like to say to the public?
We do not want to see inappropriate use of heat. We want to see anybody who's acting fraudulently prosecuted, kicked out of the association so that we can move ahead. The original intention of this scheme was to increase the use of renewable heat. That has all been forgotten about, and it's turned into a fiasco, and it's turned into a political issue. If anybody wants to try and get to the bottom of this, they need to work out what the economics of the cost implications are going forwards. And at the moment, I don't think DfE's figures at the moment, sorry, not DfE's, it's now DfE, that their figures are any more reliable than they were when they constructed the scheme 3 years ago.
OK. Michael, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Stephen, thank you very much.